Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Drama. The world's filled with drama. Whether it's clickbait, wanting us to watch something, or the news, wanting us to be afraid of something or angry about somebody, or just our own life. Our life has a lot of traumas to it and difficulties, and it's easy to let it steal our peace. And we have two great readings to reflect on that. Elijah. Elijah is in the middle of letting his peace be ripped away. The context of this for the first reading, Elijah, he's wanted by the king. The king wants to kill him off. And he's been fleeing for 40 days already. Just 40 days. Finally gets to this mountain. God says, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Elijah dumps out, "I've been zealous for you. They've killed off all the prophets. I'm the last one left. There's nothing." And God says, he didn't say this, but we know he means it. "Take it easy." He says, "Go outside and wait for me." And that's where we have this reading. These big three things come up. Now, when we really get mad at somebody or something, or are really angry about something, these three things can be symbolic of ways we want to react. Fire coming down. "Lord, bring violence. Give them their comeuppance. Do something. Can I just a little pop in the nose? Shake them a little bit?" We want to do violence. There's a temptation to do violence, especially if you've got an X and a Y chromosome. It's just hardwired, that tendency. Second thing, earthquake. I hope something bad happens to them. Maybe they'll get sick. Maybe something bad will happen to them. I'm not going to do it, but it'd be okay if you did it. Something bad happened to them, Lord. Something bad, because you know what? I'm right and they deserve it. We'll talk about that maybe in a little bit. And then the third one, the wind, the gusts of wind. Maybe I'm not going to do anything to them, but I'm going to talk about them to my friends and anybody else who listen about how wrong they are and how right I am. I might even throw in a few extra embellishments because I'm really right and they're really wrong and they deserve it and I'm hurting. Words, words, words. Violence, something bad, gossip. Three big ways we want to do to others because we're angry or hurt or afraid or something of that nature. Oh, and Elijah has to contemplate all those three things, and he comes to what conclusion? God is not in any of them. He's not in our desire for violence or vengeance. He's not a desire to have something bad happen to another. And he's certainly not in our gossiping and our bad words. He's not in any of them. And so he has to pause until he can wait and wait and wait for the Lord. And a little whisper comes. He goes, "Okay, you're right. I can't just react. I can't just react. The temptation is to react because I'm really right or really hurt or really afraid, but I can't do that. I can't let this situation or that person or that news organization or that post or whatever's going on, I can't let that drama steal this peace. It doesn't have a right to it. It doesn't have a right to my heart. And it certainly doesn't have a right to my soul. It doesn't have a right to my relationship with God and relationship with others. None of that has a right to this. And so I have to work on, how do I, one, live so it doesn't steal my peace? And then what happens in that silence? We'll get to that in a minute, too. So, how do I live so it doesn't steal my peace? Let's return to Jesus. Jesus has had a long day of work already. He's been healing the crowds and preaching. And what's he do? Disciples, get in the boat. I'll see you later. And he goes up to the mountain and prays. I love it when Jesus goes to pray. It reminds me I have to pray even more. He was God. And he went away to pray, to be quiet, to sit with the Lord, sit with the Father himself. And, oh, yeah. And what they talk about? Who knows? But I can guess a few things. I'm tired. It's been a long day. There's a lot of people coming, Lord. Whew. That's part of what our prayer time does. It's just to sort through the stuff of life and to let God be part of it. Let the Father be part of it. Let his love be part of it. Oh, praying. Also, I suspect he prays the Father. Praising is a great thing to do, especially when we're tired. It sets our heart in the right way. I think more than any form of prayer, praise sets us rightly again with who we are and who God is. To give the Father glory and praise. And then intercessory prayer, thanksgiving for what he's given, praying for those around me. Now, there's one kind of prayer that Jesus didn't do, but we do. Repentance. He never had to say, I blew it. That's worthwhile doing too, because that frees the soul. I carry less burdens that way when it's not about my ego. Oh, yeah, that was all my pride. Sorry about that. Whew, I'm much more free. That time with God helps me be restored to who I am. Because what gets restored with Elijah? Because after that, going out and hearing the whisper, he comes back in and God says, why are you here? Elijah says, you know what? I've been very zealous for the Lord. They killed all the prophets and the last one left. What do you want to do? And God, instead of saying, take it easy, he says, okay, I need you to be a prophet. Go anoint that person as king, that person as other king, and that person as prophet to succeed you. Go do your job. Remember your vocation. Your vocation isn't to worry about the whole world. Your vocation is to worry about smiting people. Your vocation is to worry about being angry. Your vocation is to be a prophet. Go do that. Oh, and by the way, in your drama, you said you were the last one left. God says, by the way, there are 7,000 who have not bowed to the Baals. Oh. Now, why didn't God lead with that? Because he wanted to get Elijah back to his vocation. You're a prophet. You hear my voice. You speak my words. Do that. Now, all of us, you got vocations, right? Son or daughter of God. Maybe a son or daughter of a parent. You're a parent. Maybe you're single, maybe you're married, maybe you got a job, maybe you don't. Whew. Who are we? Who are we? Get back to that. When the drama wants to come, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about X? What am I going to do about this person or that person? You know what? That's not my job. My vocation is to be a good parent. My vocation is to be a teacher. My vocation is to handle this stuff at work. Lord, your will be done with that stuff that's causing drama, but my job is to do my job. Because the person on the radio station or the news program, they're not going to do my job. They may get me all worked up so I can't do my job. They're not helping me at all. I have a vocation. I have a job to do. And the number one way I stay in that place of peace is to pray. Is to pray. And the number one way to pray is to praise. to give God glory. You're awesome. And praise is that simple, speaking truths of God to God. You are holy. You are kind. You are compassionate. And it restores me to, oh yeah, who I am. Who I am. That vocation. So what happened with Elijah? He got restored to his vocation. Now we have Jesus. And this is where it gets really cool. At least I think so. Jesus spends his time with the Father. Yeah, I know who I am. I'm the Son. I'm the Son of God. I'm actually God. I'm the second person of the Trinity. Whew, I'm good. Now, he starts walking on water. This isn't like going across the Red Cedar, okay? It's not like going across the Grand River or the Mississippi River or the Nile. When this starts, they are a few miles offshore. A few is 3 to 5. Let's just call it 3 to 4. Why not? Jesus is walking 3 to 4 miles on the water in stormy conditions. Think about that. He's walking for at least an hour on the water. Whew. Yeah, this isn't a quick skip and a jump. This is not a quick, oh, heal and we're moving on. An hour, and his communion with the Father is not disturbed. The wind and the wave are blowing around. Whew. He's walking for an hour, and his communion with the Father is not disturbed. That is what we're called to, that kind of communion. Now, we're all closer to Peter, though, I suspect. If you're, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Okay, come. And he gets out and starts walking on water. Number one, we kind of like to diss Peter because he sunk. He walked on water. Has anybody here walked on water? I haven't. Whew. That dude walked on water. He had that kind of communion and trust with the Lord. Whew. I'm walking on water. Yeah, I'm focused on you. We're good. He's walking on water. He's awesome. But then, whew, he lost that communion for a little bit. The clickbait got him. The news programs got him. Oh my gosh, what's happening in the world? And it stole his peace. It stole it right away. It stole his peace. And it began to sink. But he regained it right away too. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Whew. Now, some of the depictions, they show Peter underwater and drowning, and Jesus pulls him up. This is pretty clear. Right there, he grabbed him. Maybe his ankles got wet. It was pretty quick. It was pretty quick. Maybe up to his knees. I don't know. But, oh, he walked on water. He got distracted by the clickbait of the world, and then he called right out, and Jesus was right there. And Jesus wasn't there to shame him. Huh, boy, you got beat by clickbait again, didn't you? No. Whoa, why'd you doubt? Why'd you doubt? I got distracted, Lord. Completely got distracted. Though, I remember what communion with you was like, and I want that again. And here's the last part of this. As we're struggling with the world and the drama and of our hearts, as soon as Jesus gets into the boat, the drama dies down. The wind dies down. And that's where we get back to prayer. Jesus, I invite you into my boat. Jesus, I invite you into my boat. Jesus, I invite you into my boat. Because when you're with me, the drama doesn't matter. And I can live in peace. I can live in communion. I can live in union. And I remember who I am. God's son, God's daughter, who's forgiven and loved, who's held, and whom you have a plan for. Let us spend this week returning to the Lord as often as you want. Invite him in. And when the drama of the world starts to steal this, turn it off. Just turn it off. Turn it off. We don't need it. It doesn't have a right to this soul. It doesn't have a right to this peace. Only God does. Let's invite him into our boat. Let's remember who we are. Let us give him glory and praise and thanksgiving for all that he has done. Let's live as sons and daughters of God. Amen.